Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Welcome to Building a Blogging Business. I'm your host, Melody Toon, and I'm a digital marketing strategist with over 17 years of experience working in the corporate world as a digital marketer. I've worked with Fortune 100 and 500 clients, and I've owned over 100 websites. So I'm here to share my knowledge and help you develop innovative digital marketing programs that drive traffic to your website or your blog. All you need is a website, focus, and some patience. I'm also a certified Ziglar Legacy speaker, so please connect with me on Twitter at Melody Toon, M-E-L-O-D-Y-T-U-N-E, and go to my website, which is designworks.com. It's spelled DESIGNWRX.com. And you can sign up to get your free copy of the Essential Blogging Tools, which I highly suggest you do if you have a blog or thinking about starting a blog. So if you want to call today, I will take your questions. If you're on a computer, the number is at the top of your screen. When you call, if you're on the phone on a mobile, there's an icon that it has a little hand. If you raise that, that lets me know that you have a question, and then I can take your call. So today, I'm actually joined by my guest, Karen Olinsky, who I spent some time with last week. She's becoming a regular on my show, and I'm so happy to have her. She's a marketing executive with over 20 years experience, and she's going to join me in talking about this very important topic. So we are talking about simple strategies to build email lists in your blog, to build a fan base and collect email lists in your blog. This is probably the single most important strategy in your blog to build a really successful business. You need to collect email addresses. I'm going to share with you some really simple strategies and give you some really creative ideas on how to develop a viable form in your website that will entice your fans to sign up so you can build that email list. You'll want to put this on the top of your checklist. So when you build your blog, you will have some ideas on how this is incorporated into your blog. And even if you don't plan on using or creating email campaigns in the beginning, you'll thank me later for telling you to do this first thing, even though you're not doing campaigns, because any successful blogging business includes a strategy that incorporates email campaign strategies around it. So we're going to cover this and discover some different ways to build lists. So how are you, Karen?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Thanks for joining me.
You're welcome. And I'm really excited about what you just said about collecting those emails, because I started the framework for my blog. And there is a place for those emails, but I'm going to learn tonight why that's so important, because we're basically setting up a bank account to deposit those emails.
Yeah, so Karen just recently started a blog. She's worked in corporate for many years, and she still works within the corporate arena and also does consulting. So she decided it was time to build a blog as well. So I've been working with her, and so she's not only helping to share her knowledge in marketing, but she's learning at the same time and how to create some strategies around her blog. So one strategy is to set up an automation in your email tool to send a message every time you create a new post. And we'll talk a little bit more about how that all works and integrates. It sounds complicated, I know, when I say it, because most people are really clueless about how that would even work. And you don't have to worry about that so much these days, because everything is very intuitive, the way these email vendors and other tools and vendors set up their programs. They make it very easy for just the normal person to use. You just need to understand what is available and what options you have. So that's an option. You'd be able to set up an automation in your email tool that every time you updated your blog, it would automatically send a message to your email list, which makes things a lot simpler and easier and saves you time to work on other things while you are really paying attention and sending messages to your audience to let them know what's going on in your ability to communicate with them. So basically, you set it and forget it, and your fans will be the first to be notified when you update your blog. So you could also set it up to schedule it to deliver how frequently you want. So let's just say you blog every day. Do you necessarily want to send an email to your audience every day? I wouldn't recommend that. I think that's dangerous, and I think that as you very well know, in getting a lot of spam email these days, you don't want to get an email from somebody every day unless, I mean, there probably are some that you would want to get every day from, but I just can't think of any. I can't think of anybody I want to email from every day unless it's something really, really important. So in that case, what you would do is, so you're blogging every day. You can schedule that to say, I just want you to blog once a week or biweekly, and then what it'll do is it'll collect all your blog posts and list them for every day that you sent a blog post out in one email, and then that alleviates that problem. So just so you know, there's a lot of cool things that these automation tools will do. You just, like I said, need to know what are your options. And, you know, what are the selections you have that you can do that with. So it's always my thing. You don't need to work harder. You need to work smarter when you're building a business. And that's probably one of the smartest strategies that will save you some time while you serve and nurture your audience that is willing to give you their treasured email address. So I have a quote that goes like this. If you can build a strategy to set up a sign-up form with an intriguing offer and people give you their guarded private email address, you better be prepared to do some serious business. Because if somebody gives you their email address, they're serious about what you're doing. So that's why it's such an important strategy in a business, because it is a very critical relationship that you have with these people who are giving you their email address. So let's talk a little bit about the importance of communicating in writing, not necessarily email, just writing. So what I did was I pulled up some famous classical movies that kind of brought the art of letter writing back. I think the art of writing was really popular back in wartime. Don't you think, Karen?
Absolutely, because people weren't inundated with all of the technologies, with the iPhone, with telephone, radio, TV. So the word, you know, written word is something that's lost, and it's coming back via through email and blogging.
Yeah. And, it, you know, back in wartime days, you know, people, that's how, you know, couples lovers used to communicate when they'd be separated for a long period of time would be to write letters to one another, and that's how they stayed in touch and in contact. And the reason I kind of bring it up is because I really do believe that people don't really get the email thing because of technology and that lost art of writing, you know, even in books. People aren't reading books as much. They're listening to them on tape, on iPhones and such.
Melody, you said something that was really important, and it comes back to what we discussed last week, and it's a recurring theme in what you share constantly is you have to be yourself. And when you get an email that really triggers that emotional response in you, that's when they touched you, versus the emails that you get sent to your phone that's being, sale now or something just because you know it's being automated.
Right.
And that's what stops me and says, you know what, they took the time to get to know me.
Right.
And that's when I want to give my email to them.
Yes, it's really good advice, especially when you're blogging, because it's more of a personal way of writing anyways. So you want your emails to reflect that as well. So here's just a few famous classic movies that came to my attention. So there's four of them. Number four would be, let's see if you can guess in your head while I'm reading these, what the number one movie would be that had the art of letter writing in it. And these are recent, since 2004, 2001, let's say. So the fourth one was Dear John, who had Amanda Seyfried. I'm not sure I know how to say her last name. Seyfried. And Cham Tating, and it was about a Marine, and he falls in love, and he promises to write while he only has 1 year left to serve, and then he reenlists after 9/11, so the writing goes on. But they also, when I was pulling these up, were talking about how much money these films gross, so these were really high-grossing films as well. So people are still, you know, enchanted with letter writing, these letter writing love letter movies. And then there was the cute one with You've Got Mail with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. I thought that was such a cute movie because it was right when AOL, you know, came out with that. And remember the recording, it said, You've Got Mail. And I mean, it still rings in my head. That was so, you know, it was such an impact back then. But that was a modern twist on classic love letter writing in an email, and it was about a secret relationship that was developed through a series of emails. And even though they met in person, they didn't know that they were the ones that were actually writing the emails for a while until the end of the movie. So it was a really cute story. And then number two would be the P.S. I Love You. I saw this movie as well. It was really good. It was about a wife who was widowed. I didn't write her name down. Hilary Swank. She was a wife who was widowed, and her husband had left numerous letters behind, and she was reading them, and it was encouraging her to go out on adventures and move on with her life. And through these encouraging letters, she learned to live again, and she fell in love with someone. So that was a really good movie. And then, of course, let's see if you can figure out the number one movie. It's still really popular. And this was made, I think, back in 2004, was The Notebook, where he writes her a letter every day for a year, all unanswered. And her mother intercepts them. And by chance, she sees a picture of him in a newspaper 7 years later and decides to visit him in spite of her impending nuptials to another man. And then after spending time together, she confronts him about not writing her. And they share what is considered one of the greatest cinematic lip locks of all time. It was such a great story. But I just wanted to show you that how writing can be so impactful, even if it's just playing out a story in a movie. It's very impactful. And so that's why you want to focus on your writing, not just in your blogging, but in your emails. Because letters and blogging can transfer feelings of emotion.
Melody, I really like You've Got Mail, because I remembered when AOL came out, and it was roughly around the same time Yahoo came out, and I figured, let me go with Yahoo email. But the key point of that is the relationship that is developed, you know, through a series of communications. So it comes back to, in order to blog, you need to be passionate about what it is that you're writing or doing your business so that that conveys in your message.
Exactly. Because if you're passionate about what you're writing, then your audience is going to connect with you. And it's just like you're courting your audience. It's just like a romance. You want them to fall in love with you and what you're selling or what you're not selling. So you need to stay connected with an audience, and email is the best way to do that. I mean, you have social media, but social media is a hit and miss. People aren't on social media all the time. Most people check their emails every day if they're in business, or even if they're not in business, they check their email more frequently probably than they do social media. Some people are addicted to social media, let's just say that. And they will be on social media, and you will connect with them on social media, but it's more personal. Because when you're connecting with them, think about it this way. When you're connecting with them on social media, it's not personal. You sent out a message to everybody, a mass message. When you send an email, even though it's a mass email, it seems very personal. And especially how you set that up, and we'll talk about that, how you set that up and make that really personal. So what you want to do as well is apply special exclusive offers to your email list, and that adds more value, and it keeps them from unsubscribing when they feel like they're special and you are, you know, giving them exclusive offers. And then you want to keep them on the edge of their seats and keep them coming back for more with really great content. That's really important, that you're just not emailing them, but great content. And it can be as much as just promoting your blog. Like I said, you can set up a feed, they call them feeds, into your email vendor account, and it knows when you post a blog and it shoots out an email. And the way that becomes personal, more personal, is the fact that they think you're taking the time to send them an email to notify them, I've updated my blog. You matter to me, and I want you to know. So I'm sending you this email before anybody else sees this blog post. It was just put up today. Like, that's how fast it is. That's this automation when you set this up. It's instantaneous. So as soon as you post the blog, it sends out the emails. And that means a lot to people when they are updated that quickly, and that puts them first, which they should be, because remember, they gave you their much guarded email address, and you have to keep that in mind. You have to protect that email address. You can't share that email address. You can't sell that email address. You need to guard that email address with your soul, because that's what makes the program work. So here's a quote by Zig Ziglar that goes like this: selling is essentially a transfer of feelings. And I think that quote just plays in perfect with this whole scenario of what we're talking about, of that, you know, that connection and relationship that you have with someone. If they trust you, they will buy from you. So let's talk about some challenges. So here are some of the challenges in emailing: making your headlines interesting to get your fans to open the email. So that is probably the number one thing that you need to, besides having good content, the most important thing is that you get your audience to open the email. And the way they open up the email is by how intriguing and interesting that subject line is. So think about that. When you start getting emails, look at the subject lines. What makes you open up that email? Sometimes you just do it with subconsciously and don't even realize it's the headline that has captured your attention and gets you to open up that email. My dog is barking. Can you hear him, Karen?
Yes, I can. And she's actually chiming in going, you're right on point. So that's something that Melody did say as far as when you're receiving an email. I don't know about you who are listening, but I scan my email and I'm looking at subject lines and who they're from. And if the subject line is something hokey, a lot of times I'll just hit delete because I'm afraid it's spam that came into my inbox. So everything that Melody had just said is really take the time to review those headlines that come into your email and also create a folder in your email and for examples that really what piqued your interest on that email so that you can maybe use it somehow, because nothing's original out there when it comes to that. That's part of the marketing that comes into this. Why reinvent the wheel?
Yeah, that's a really good idea, especially like clever emails. I always get a kick out of the clever subject lines, you know, that really catch my attention. You know, those are good ones to save, like she said, in a folder to, you know, to go back to those and go, oh, how can I, you know, what can I do that would be really clever to you know, to kind of tap into that creative side of your mind that really does help. So when you first start creating emails, to make it simpler, they have what they call templates that make it easier for you. So it's kind of like you create your first email. And it could be a newsletter. You could have a regular newsletter that goes out. I'm seeing less and less of newsletters, but there are some people I still get newsletters from, and I enjoy some of them. Just depends on your subject matter.
Well, Melody, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Your essential blogging tools, I really enjoyed that because that was something that you had discussed in one of your earlier blog radio spots. And I remember getting an email a few days later because I had given the email. It came, and I was, not because I know you, but those are essential strategies. It came to me, and I didn't have to do anything else other than provide my email. Because these days, sometimes, and I know everybody's experienced this, you'll give your email, and then you have five more steps to get what you want. And
right.
You made it very simple and engaging.
Yeah, and that's really best practice. So what she's talking about is if you go to my website, designworks.com, I have the essential blogging tools up there that you're going to need for when you start your blog because it has all kinds of resources and links and ideas on how to get started in starting a blog. Even if you've got a blog started, there are still tips and over 50 tips and tools in there that I'm sure some of you have never seen before. So you want to pull that down, and when you do, all it asks for, all it requires is your email address, your first name, and your last name. The reason that you want to get a first name, not so much a last name, but I just do that. And if you can get a zip code, but I didn't put that in there because the less you ask for in the beginning, the more likely you're going to get the email address. The more you ask for, it gets cumbersome and people they get nervous about it and they'll walk away from it. So make sure you make it really simple. So mine is first name, last name. And I do that so that when I do send you an email, it is personally addressed to you. It will have your first name in it. And it just makes it more personal. That is a strategy. That is a best practice that's been tested and tried and works. So I highly recommend you do that. So then you just sign up for that. And what will happen is you'll get an email right away. It says, thank you for signing up for the essential blogging tools. Here is your link. And you click on it and download. It's a PDF format. Download those tools, and they're there. You can save them on your hard drive, and they're there for whenever you need them. Thank you for that, Karen, for bringing those up.
You're welcome, because I refer to them a lot. And as mentioned before, I am in marketing, but blogging is just a whole different mindset. And that's why I'm participating with you, because, you know, when you engage with someone via email or blogging or what we're doing over this blog talk, it's still a way of communicating and learning. So just wanted to put that in there.
Yeah, thanks. And so you want to make a template similar to what I was just talking about with the essential blogging tools. And then for blog posts, when you update people on that you have a new blog post, all you need to do is copy and paste the highlights from your blog, maybe 1 to 2 sentences, instead of, like Kieran said, reinventing the wheel. No sense in that, and it just makes it easy and simple. Once you get that first template done, you know, it's just very, very simple after that. Don't try to create emails from your email account, such as Gmail. I know people think, you know, sometimes it's, you know, I've done this so long, it's just, you know, it's like a walk in the park for me. But I have to keep in mind, there are some people that think that because Gmail is an email account, that you can use that to actually send emails with, but that's not set up to do that. So you need to sign up with a vendor, an email tool vendor, and I use MailChimp, and they actually have a free account. I think you signed up for the free account as well, Karen.
Yes, I did, because that was one of the plugins that you helped me with.
That plugs into WordPress, so it integrates with your WordPress website, and you can listen to last week's radio show. We did a show on that, and it integrates with it really well. Like I said, when you update your blog, it can automate it, but to incorporate the automated part to it is a paid version. I pay $9 a month. To me, it's worth it, but I also waited until I built up a big enough email list to make it, you know, worth it. So if you're just starting out, definitely go for just the free account, and then, you know, then you're going to manually send those emails. But it's not a big deal when you're sending it to a few and you're not posting that frequently when you're first starting out. So it's a nice practice run. You know, it gets you used to the tool, which you really should do. And then the other reason why you want to stick with a, you know, well-known vendor, MailChimp is very well known, and they have all kinds of bells and whistles once you start getting into the paid version. More things than you'll ever need, but just amazing tools in there to create some really, and we'll talk about one campaign that I highly recommend that's a little high level, a little more detailed, but you might see some purpose for it, so I want to talk about it. But anyways, MailChimp, they're all set up with a canned spam compliance already that's already incorporated, which is really important. And so that's why you want to use these vendors. Don't try and take this task on yourself, especially when they offer free, you know, free accounts. It's really senseless to try and do this on your own.
And remember, time is money. So everything that Melody just said is absolutely correct, and I believe that time is money, and that's why I'm working with her so that I can get the quickest way to market.
Right. And so, and then once you get your email campaigns going, you want to be able to they have an analytic dashboard, so it'll tell you, you know, what the percentage of open rates were, click rates, you know, and you'll get used to looking at those things. And I'll do another show on just that part of it, on the actual campaigns and analytics, and, you know, how you look at that and then make decisions based off on what you're finding. But you want to see how your campaigns are working. So you want to get in there and look at those. So for an example, if you have an email that gets less than a 10% open rate, so you send 100 emails out, only 10 people opened it, what you can do, like a few days later, is change that email subject line and resend it. And the reason you'd want to change the subject line is because evidently 90 people did not care for that subject line you sent. So you want to change that up and try and make it more intriguing, more compelling to open. And then you resend it to those, only those people, by copying the 10% addresses and you exclude them. There's a way to do that, to exclude those 10 email addresses from that list. And it's like you just sent a brand new email to 90 people just to try and see if you can get that outcome to be different. So, and then again, you're not reinventing the wheel. You're still using the same email. You're just changing the subject line to try and get people to connect with it. So those are just some strategies. I mean, I can give you lots of these strategies in one whole show, which I will definitely have to set that up now that I'm thinking about it, because it's really good to know these little tips and tricks of emailing to make your life simpler, because it will. To reuse emails will make it simpler. Why reinvent the wheel when 90 people didn't even open that email and look at it? They have no idea what's on the inside. And then the other thing is, like Karen mentioned, is you need to be yourself. People connect with people, and that's why blogging works. It shows a vulnerable side to your business and your authentic personality. So be real, as they say, be real. So the times that you send and the subject lines can affect your open rates as well. So you're going to want to test that out as well. And when I say that, maybe send, maybe break your list up. So let's say you have a list of 200 email addresses. Maybe you want to break up the email addresses 100 and 100 and split it in half, and then create maybe different subject lines and send them out. You want to send them out at the same time, because what you don't want the factors to come in is you send out two different subject lines, two different times. You don't know what's working, the time or the subject line, because it could be the time. But anyways, there's just some ways to do some testing. And again, I will do a whole show on that, that as you get going in your email campaigns, to help you understand it a little bit more, to increase your open rates, to increase the outcome that you want from those campaigns. There's ways that you can switch that up so that you're not reinventing the wheel, but just testing it out to get the best results. So here's 10 great ideas to get your fans to sign up and give you that golden email address. So what you could do is you could do a giveaway. It could be a book, maybe on the subject that you're talking about, an inspirational book even, motivational CDs to listen to in their cars, or a DVD video to watch. And of course, my favorite is Zig Ziglar, since I am a Zig Ziglar certified trainer. I listen to Zig Ziglar all the time, and people love Zig Ziglar. So you can go to my website, and I have a list of Zig Ziglar tapes, CDs, DVDs, and books. If you wanted to create a type of giveaway, that's one avenue you can go down. And you could do a drawing. You wouldn't have to give it to every person who gives your email address, but you literally would just do a drawing for, and you could do maybe buy five different products and give out five of them, or just one, whatever. And then you just want to make sure you send them an email and give them a date and time of when you're going to do that drawing, so they know when to expect that. And then it's kind of a cool idea, when you do pick a winner, to send that email out and announce it, you know, and it just kind of gets people excited, even though they weren't the winners. It sometimes gets them excited to know that somebody won something that they signed up for. Or you could give away a product that you're selling. Another idea would be to do a drawing for that as well. So unless it's a really high-end product, a lot of people don't want to do that. But if it's pretty inexpensive, you could actually give away one of those products. And the reason you want to do that, why that's really important, is because people are connecting with whatever you're selling or whatever you're writing about. And so they're going to get really excited and more likely to give you that email address if you're actually going to give them something that they're really interested in. And obviously, they wouldn't be there if they weren't interested in what you have. The other thing would be to give away some type of intellectual property. You know, like Karen was talking about, I have the essential blogging tools. That's one thing. You could create an ebook, even a small ebook. It wouldn't have to be long, maybe 5-10 pages of some important information that people want, how to do something. That's another idea of instructions on how to do something. It just depends on what your website is about. You want it somewhat to be relatable, or to create a document with valuable resources.
I remember doing something similar to that, is be the 100th person to respond, and they received, I think we were doing something around Starbucks. It was a $100 gift card, and you're able to see through your email stats when the 100th one happens. And that one is fun because people are trying to send it very quickly, and I don't want to jump ahead to what you're going to dedicate a show to, but that's where your social media starts to coincide with your email.
Right.
That's where the energy starts to pick up.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you want to promote it, whatever you're doing, you want to promote that within social media, because that's how you're going to bring people back to that website to sign up for that. You could also create a free online course. You could do a little webinar. It doesn't have to be long, maybe 30 minutes, you know, just to put a few slides together and some video. You know, they have all kinds of really inexpensive video. And I'll tell you, you'll probably relate better to it if I told you, you've probably done this. You've probably put videos together with pictures of your kids and music and all that, and put this beautiful CD together to play for your family, like at a birthday party. That's the kind of tool you could use to put together a video. You just need to videotape. I mean, a lot of times they videotape themselves or videotape the screen, and then you can insert screenshots and pictures in with it, like a little 30-minute webinar teaching somebody how to do something. It could even be a YouTube video. Look how many, if you haven't seen them, you need to go on YouTube and see all the tutorials on there about different subjects. You can learn to do anything on YouTube, and just type in any subject and you'll see a YouTube on how to do something. And you could literally put something like that together, just a YouTube video, put that in some software that you have that you put together the kids' picture videos, and then schedule a time and date, put that up on social media, and make sure you get their email address. You send them back to your website, have a little form there, so sign up for my webinar this date and time, and then you get their email address, and then you send them the link to what time your video is going to play. And they have some free services out there. I want to say, I have to look it up because I can't think of it. Zoom is one of them. It's like WebEx, if you've ever heard of WebEx, but you have to pay for WebEx. But there are some free services out there that you can set up a little webinar. And then the other one is the Google, what is it called, Karen? Do you know? The Google Video, or it's not, I don't want to call it Google Video.
Google Chat, I believe.
Yeah, it's like a Google Chat, and you can do live webinars through that. You can set it up through that, and that's free.
I like your idea of the pre-recorded because it kind of gives you the chance to personalize it prior. than going live if you're not used to using that technology. So you're able to have it more scripted versus like what we're doing right now, which is live and it's not scripted. So you're hearing the exchange of ideas, and Melody's a thought leader on this. But then you're able to tweak it and then push it out via your email and your blog.
I agree. I think if you're first starting out in this arena of webinars, that you probably should record them and then put them up, because you can edit them and make them sound really good and make sure. One thing you want to make sure is that you have a call to action. I don't think people realize, sometimes when they do the live ones at the end, there's no real call to action. So if you're trying to get people, even if it's just to get people to go to your blog, is the only call to action you have. You just want to make sure that you throw that in there, at least at the end of the video. Sometimes you may not remember that in a live version of it. So another one would be to build a list with a pop-up survey. So I just found this online today, actually, this tool that I will probably add to my essential blogging tools, because this looks like a really cool tool. It's called Qualaroo. It's Qualaroo, Qualaroo, like kangaroo, but it's Qualaroo. And it's a survey tool. And what they suggested you do with the survey tool that you can put on your, besides taking surveys on your website, you can convert it to an email sign up. And so with this survey, what this particular survey tool will do is it will pop up at the end of, so you like put a timer on it. So for example, you kind of time what you would think it would take someone to read a blog article. Now you're not going to be right on with this, because some people are slow readers, and then some people walk away from their computers and walk back and read. But at some certain time, you put a pop-up. And by the way, some people say, I don't want to use pop-ups. They irritate me. I can't stand them. You may feel that way about a pop-up, but I'm going to tell you, in all the analytics I've seen, pop-ups work. So you really want to use, even though they annoy you, people sign up with pop-ups. And that's why you see so many of them on these websites, on these professional websites, because they work. And so they had a really cute idea for this one pop-up. And I didn't write it down. Let me see if I still have that up. Anyways, the pop-up was you convert the tool to a sign-up, and the pop-up says, you seem interested, and you could say anything, but I just put, you seem interested in my blog, or you seem interested in this subject matter, whatever the subject matter is. And then it says, would you like to sign up to get free blog updates? And then it actually had, because if it were a survey, there's more than one answer, right? You could set up more than one saying, not right now, I'm not interested. You could put different replies to it. Not right now, I'm not interested. Maybe later, whatever you can think of, get really creative and go out there and look and see what other people are doing to kind of help you with those ideas of what you could put in there. But when you do it that way, you kind of get an idea if people are really interested. Because if they were to say something like, not interested right now, or maybe later, or whatever, at least you know it's not a solid no, and that you're doing something right. I think you could put one answer as, no thank you, I am not interested, or whatever, but that would be a solid no. But if you put some other answers up there to get a gauge for, at least, they're not saying no, they're saying, I'm not interested right now, or I get too many emails, or whatever you could think of. But I just thought that was a really, really good idea as a way of creating an email sign up to get an email address. Because the more feedback I think you can get from your audience, it helps you to tweak it. It helps you to really understand who your audience is. Obviously, this is your audience, but they wouldn't be to this website. Something brought them there. Now, if you're getting a solid no, I'm not interested, then that's telling you somewhere from the journey to get them there to that point, something happened that didn't work. And it kind of gives you those indicators that you need to maybe tweak that. Do you have any thoughts on that, Karen?
No, I think you're really on point. And the thing is, I constantly, when I'm reviewing email, and yes, I am a little self-centered, I always go, what's in it for me? So if the subject line is really compelling, I click on it. And I'll be like, you know, you got me. But it's because they hooked me.
Right.
Something in it that engaged me. And that's what you were saying earlier, like what's the call to action, which is making them actually click.
Right. So you could also do what they call a challenge. Challenge them to sign up and learn something new. Like it could say something like in social media, how to make $1 million. You know, I'm just kind of throwing that out there as something. Or, you know, learn a new technique. You know, you're kind of challenging them to sign up. Even though you may not be really giving them something, you're asking for their email address. And when you do that, then you take them to a landing page within your website that gives more details what you're asking them to do to sign up. But people like challenges. And when you say, you know, here's a way you can learn this, it's just to get them to go to read in detail, because you don't have a lot of room on social media to really give details. So that's that hook that Karen was talking about. Okay, you got me. You got me to come to your website. So this better be good. So anyways, that's just one way. And, you know, what'll be interesting about that, if you were to set it up that way, you're going to see in your analytics people coming to your page. So you're obviously hooking them in social media with that line to come to your website. But then the real analytics will be, are they actually giving you their email address? Because if you're getting 100 people coming to your website in one day after you send out a social media campaign like that, 100 people come to your website, and you only get two email addresses. Now that tells you there's something wrong with that messaging within your website that you need to tweak. Wouldn't you say, Karen?
Absolutely. Sorry for the delay. Take my mic off. But yeah, I mean, that's what makes you, and that's what you had said earlier about splitting your email list and sending it out exactly at the same time, because if one of your offers got a 40% open rate and then the other one only got 2% and they went out at the exact time and the subject line was different from the other that says, you know, do you want to be challenged now or take a challenge and learn, you know, then you're going to start to understand your content better.
Right. And you're going to understand your audience better, don't you think?
Absolutely.
So yeah, so I'm a big tester, so you'll hear that whenever I'm doing one of these shows or even in my blog. Test, test, test. Test it out. Don't give up on it. Just because it didn't work doesn't mean it wasn't good. It just means that you might have used just the wrong words and how you presented that and how you sent that out. And sometimes it's just as simple as the time. The time of day, the time of week. You want to, you know, when you first start sending email campaigns, you want to, that first week, send them out on different days. You don't want to send them out the same day every week, because that's not telling you anything. And then you'll get a good indicator, what days of the week does your audience open email for whatever subject you're talking about. And I think I've mentioned this before in my shows. If you're working with businesses, you're a B2B business, you're a business selling to businesses, either services or products, then you're probably going to want to send Monday through Friday during business hours. I've tested that out before in B2B where I've sent on a Sunday because I read somewhere when I was working in corporate that people, salespeople open their emails on Sunday. They work on Sunday. And I tested that out one time and I said, you're wrong. At least in our business, that did not work. Those, you know. But anyways, you want to test that out anyways, even if you think what you're doing is right and you hear something like in that situation, you still want to test it out just to get those indicators. And then if you're selling, you know, to customers, people are buying products, you know, you want to test Saturdays, Sundays, because that's when people shop, really. They shop during the week or even at night, to send it at night. And then if you're global, then now you got to take into consideration, you know, the world hours and, you know, what time are you sending to Australia? And then if you're even in the United States, you've got to consider Eastern time to Pacific time. Just have to take all those things into consideration and kind of play around with them and test them out. So here was another really great idea I got from, I think it was one of the LinkedIn, no, it wasn't LinkedIn, but it's about LinkedIn, talking about LinkedIn, and it was to create a group in LinkedIn. So LinkedIn to me is, I mean, you can do B2C, business to customer, but I would mostly use LinkedIn for business to business. Would you say that, Karen?
Yes, and you have to be really careful about business-to-business selling on LinkedIn because I've done a lot of reading, and that's really a professional network that you're making connections with. And yes, you can sell, but if you're blatantly out there using your content, your contacts, and trying to sell to them directly, you're going to watch how many people drop off.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to what you were saying is business is done really via email through the MailChimps that you use and ExactTarget and whatever campaign programs there are out there.
Right. I agree on that. But this was kind of an interesting idea to get email addresses, and that would be to create a group in LinkedIn. So you can create, just like Facebook, you can create groups in LinkedIn, and they are professional groups. So keep that in mind. So that's what I'm saying, that B2B, it would be a professional group.
And I remember that, Melody, the fact that that LinkedIn group where they are sharing email addresses, I thought it was brilliant the way they did it because you didn't get a message. It just said, if you want to be a part of the newsletter, put your email in.
Yes. And so it's kind of sneaky, but it's brilliant. But anyways, what you do is you set up the welcome email in LinkedIn. So it has, when you set up a group, and you have to be the one to set up the group, it gives you that option to set up a welcome email. So when somebody signs up for the group, they're going to get this welcome email. And in the welcome email, you're going to add in an offer, like get our newsletter or sign up for our membership. Well, that's what they think they're doing, by the way, is signing up for this group membership. You're just extending it out a little bit, and by saying, you know, what, sign up for our membership, that it takes them to a page on your website, and there's going to be a form, and with an offer to, you know, confirmation to a membership to access exclusive information. So you're joining this group, and now you're getting exclusive information by giving this website your email address. So what's really great is it's pretty much integrated seamlessly, even though it's really two different offers. You're signing up for a group, and you're signing up for exclusive information from this person who created this group, is basically what it is. But that is a really brilliant way, I think, to get email addresses. It's just really, really smart. So I will have this in a blog post. I usually, a couple days later, I will put a blog post up with all this information and all the resources for this, with this example, if you're interested. Or you can actually email me at Melody, M-E-L-O-D-Y, at designworks.com, designworx.com, and specifically ask me about the LinkedIn email form sign up, and I will send you either the resource link or give it to you in email how that works. See how I did that, Karen? I actually talked them into giving me their email address. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. And you know what? It was a very passive, nice way to do it. Very engaging.
So that's what I'm trying to teach you all, is how this all works. It's all part of, you know, just really giving people information that they want, you know, is all I'm doing, is just on information, I'll give it to you. All you have to do is give me your email address. And one thing I always say in my emails as well, when I send out emails, is I tell people you can unsubscribe at any time, because that is also what is integrated in with the MailChimp and all the other vendors that set these up. They have to put that in there. That's law. And so anybody can unsubscribe at any time. And when you say that to someone in an email, that puts them at ease, I think. Or when you say it like on a radio show like this, you know, if you give me your email address, I'll be glad to give you information and you can unsubscribe at any time, kind of thing. Then it just puts you at ease to know that you have that option and that control.
You know, it makes me think, Melody, as far as the way technology has changed, even for our home phones. If people don't know me, then they call my house phone. If they know me, then they call me on my personal cell phone. So to your point about giving out an email address, it is like gold. You treasure it and it's sacred.
Right. So just keep that in mind. You have to keep that in mind when you're collecting email addresses, that's really important to those people that are giving it to you. So you mean something to them, is what I'm saying, is you obviously have something of importance to give to them and they want it from you and they trust you. And so don't abuse it, basically. Here are some phrases that have been tried and tested to show results that you should try to use. So instead of saying sign up for our newsletter, you should say something like this: I'm pretty sure you're with me on this one. And don't ask me why, but they tried and tested this and it actually works. You know, that kind of casual, I'm your friend, you know, kind of line. I'm pretty sure you're with me on this one. So, and then featured download, which is another one to say in social media when you're promoting it, you say featured download instead of sign up for my newsletter, sign up for this email. Here's a featured download. And that works. And so here are some terms that you can use when you're promoting email addresses. Featured, something featured is one. Exclusive is another good word. Advanced, download, secrets, access, limited offer, special offer, and limited time. So I also have those in the blog post as well in a couple of days if you want to look those up and try and use those instead of using, you know, your typical sign up for my newsletter now. Well, we're just about out of time. I had a ton more information on this. I'm definitely going to have to to talk about some of these other things. But just a reminder to, you know, really help those who are also trying to build their businesses. It's kind of like Karen and I, we kind of work off of each other and we help each other out, even though, you know, she's not making anything off of what I do and I'm not making anything off of what she does. It's just really building those relationships when you're an entrepreneur and a consultant, a coach, and you help each other out. And because when you give, you receive, and you will experience that trickle down of abundance if you do that. And don't forget to connect with me on Twitter at Melody Tune, and go to my website, designwrx.com. That's designwrx.com. And make sure you sign up for the free copy of the Essential Blogging Tools. You don't want to miss that. And if you have any questions, you can email me at melody@designwrx.com. Karen, do you have any last words for us of wisdom?
Do what you love and be true to yourself, and the money will follow. So just be true.
Very good. And you can follow Karen on Twitter as well. She has tons of experience in marketing, and she can really help you to also get your blog on. She's at Karen Olinsky, KarenOlensky. Thanks again for joining me today. I really appreciate it, and we hope you have a fabulous week.